Hello, this is my Advent Diary for December the 3rd, 2018. Today is Monday in the first week of Advent. As I was thinking today about what I might share with you in these audio diaries over these coming days, I remembered that once upon a time I had written daily Advent reflections on some of the daily office readings. What I didn't know was whether I had written for a cycle that we're not reading this year. So a Google search later, I'd come upon my old blog, and lo and behold, as it turns out, we're reading the same cycle as what I had written 10 years ago. So what I propose to do for these coming days is to read what I had written 10 years ago, and then perhaps add a reflection or comment at the end. So these audio diaries are going to, in some ways, recapitulate things that are now 10 years old, but hopefully my reflections will make them more pertinent, or at least set them in some context with what we're dealing with in our world today. So that's the plan, and we'll see how it works. What that also means is that part of these reflections, these daily diaries, are going to sound a bit more prepared because I'm going to read what I wrote 10 years ago, and the other parts will sound, well, like this sounds, as if I'm just talking into a microphone. So for those of you who are listening, I'll be interested in your input, your comments, if these are helping or at all meaningful. So with that said, today's reflection. The assigned reading from the Hebrew Scriptures today is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. As I read the entire passage this morning, these are the lines that stood out to me. Quote, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord." Earlier in the passage, the prophet reports of God's disgust, I think that's an appropriate summary, with the nature of religious observances in Israel. The entire sacrificial machine was operating at full tilt. All the appropriate days were being remembered. Liturgies were being celebrated, no doubt in decency and in order. In fact, the religious machine was operating at such a level of efficiency that it no longer even needed an object of worship because it had become its own God. The relationship between God and God's people had devolved into little more than a series of superstitious transactions. Offer the right animal at the right time in the right fashion, and God would be satisfied. Fastidiously observe the right holy day and all would be well. Appease God with a goat or a bull and then go on living your life. No change or conversion required. Easy. The prophet hears God's indictment as a wake-up call to pay attention to those in society who are living at the margins, the overlooked and undercared for. To enter into relationship with God requires more than a sacrifice purchased from the local sacrifice supplier. A liturgical observance that doesn't lead one to see the world through the lens of God's mercy is liturgy that stands under God's judgment. Isaiah's oracle reminds me, as a person who makes my living being a liturgical profession, that liturgy isn't an end in itself. Liturgy is the means through which we are pushed from the adoration of God around the holy table out into the world, toward the places and people that make us uncomfortable. I wonder if the place we begin reasoning with God isn't in the safe surroundings of our local church at all. I wonder if we only begin talking with God when we dialogue with and on behalf of those that our society easily discards or openly disdains. 10 years hence, that particular reflection catches me more in the gut than it did when I wrote it. 10 years hence, and it feels as if we are a society that is hell-bent on hating those who are different from us, being afraid of those who want to be our neighbors. It seems as if we've become so focused on ourselves that we lose sight of all of those around us who so desperately need care and concern, who so desperately need to hear a word of good news, and who need to see deeds of good news enacted on their behalf. I wish it felt like we had made more progress in 10 years than apparently we have as a country. But perhaps that's why Isaiah speaks so poignantly to us. It's because the problems of the people of Israel are our problems. The reduction of the worship of God to a liturgy, instead of understanding that it is the liturgy that empowers us to worship God through word and deed in our day-to-day lives. At the end of every liturgy, either the celebrant or the deacon of the Mass says to people, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." Our work for justice and peace, our work to extend God's mercy and God's love, doesn't end around an altar, the Holy Communion table, in our local parish. That act, the act of worship, the act of receiving the body and blood of Christ, that is to energize us to do what God has called us to do. And what has God called us to do? What does loving the neighbor look like? Well, I return back to the passage at hand. These are some good places to start. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Let's be about those things. Let's find ways to worship God in the world. Let's find ways to extend hospitality to the stranger. Let's find ways to really labor for justice, freedom, and peace. Because at the end of the day, if we're not at work in those ways in our life, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our country, some of our liturgy will simply ring hollow. May God have mercy on us and God empower us to do the work that we have been given to do with gladness and singleness of heart. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.